In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The season of Epiphany following the visit of the Magi begins and ends with the voice of God the Father from heaven, declaring Christ Jesus to be his beloved and well-pleasing Son. First at the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan River, when he entered upon the way of his cross. And now again at the transfiguration of our Lord upon the high mountain, as he is about to embark upon the last downward track of his journey. It is precisely as the beloved Son, out of love for his Father and out of his great love for you, that Jesus makes his way from and through the waters of his baptism unto his death upon the cross in your stead. Now it is by virtue of your own baptism into Christ that God the Father speaks from heaven also now concerning you, that you are his beloved and well-pleasing Son. Because you share the sonship and inheritance of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who lived and suffered, died and rose again for you. Which is also to say that in the Transfiguration, you see in Christ, in his flesh, and reflected as well in Moses and Elijah, the glory that you also share as a member of his church, especially as one who shares in the glory of his cross. St. Matthew begins the account of the Transfiguration after 6 days. You know what it was that happened the week before. By the revelation of the Father, St. Peter gave his great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then when Jesus went on to explain what it must mean for him to be the Christ, that he must suffer and die and be raised again, and Simon Peter had become an agent of Satan, rebuking the Lord and denying his cross, the Lord must continue to teach, to catechize the disciples, including you, to understand the glory of his cross. Especially because it is by that cross that you are saved and given life, but also because you, like the disciples, will share that cross, especially by your baptism into Christ. And yet it is a difficult thing for us to comprehend that the glory of the Transfiguration is simply the glory of the cross made visible for this moment to the eyes, in order that the holy apostles might preach and proclaim and record that glory of the cross for the spiritual eyes of faith. For it is normally not the eyes at all, not yet, not in this life, but the ears that perceive the divine glory of Christ. That is, the glory of his cross, revealed in and through his word and the preaching of it, to which we cling, in which we hope, come hell or high water against us. In spite of all that our eyes and our feelings and all of our other human senses might tell us. So the Transfiguration is another revelation of the Father to St. Peter along with James and John, that Jesus, though a man of flesh and blood, is also indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so must these disciples know, as they will soon behold their dear Lord Jesus being led away and crucified like a sheep to the slaughter, that no one takes his life from him, but he lays it down willingly. So is the prophetic word clarified and fulfilled and made more sure in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrificial flesh and blood that is transfigured with his glory on the mountain, that he offers as a sacrifice for sin upon the cross, that he gives and pours out for the forgiveness of your sin here in his Holy Supper. And so are you reassured and lifted up without fear by the kind and gentle voice of Jesus as he reaches out and touches you with his flesh. Even when you face the cross in your own life, when you must carry its heavy load, when you are being nailed to it, how easy it is to despair. But God, your heavenly Father, has not rejected you. He has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. The cross you carry is the cross of his Son. For you are baptized into him. You share his life. You share his death. You share his resurrection. And the voice of God the Father from the excellent glory thus declares, "You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Yes, even you. Of course, none of this makes sense until the cross and resurrection are accomplished. The disciples may know, but they do not understand, not yet. For the moment, they are dazzled and confused, even afraid. And when the cross appears, they will be scattered in fear. Bold, brave, boisterous Peter will deny his Lord with curses, then weep bitterly like a baby with remorse. Because for now he sees the glory of the Lord, but Peter does not understand. It is the very glory of that fast approaching cross. This makes no sense, no more for Peter than it does for you. It is the contradiction of all human wisdom, reason, experience, and strength, including yours. That is why you must listen to Jesus and why you must cling to his word for dear life. For only his word will reveal the true reality and the true divine glory of his cross. That is why the transfiguration was not to be told until after the cross and resurrection. Because it has no truth or meaning apart from these, nor can it be understood, but only misunderstood apart from these. Only after the Son of Man has risen from the dead will Peter be able to understand the transfiguration and the glory of the cross and the way in which Jesus is the prophetic word confirmed in the flesh. And then, by the preaching of this word made flesh, the sun of righteousness now dawns upon you, and the morning star now rises in your heart. But as for Christ, so also for you. His light now shines in you and through you, in your flesh, as you take up his cross to follow him. For the glory that you share with him as a Christian is still the glory of his cross, which you bear and carry in the certain hope of his resurrection. To be confronted by the glory of God apart from this cross is to be terrified and crushed by fear. For you are, as you have confessed, a poor, miserable sinner. And no sinner can stand in the presence of Almighty God, nor could you see him and live. His law utterly condemns you and sentences you to death and damnation, for his holiness demands perfection even as he is perfect, whereas you have fallen so far short of his glory in every respect, as you daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. But the last and final word of God is not the glory of his law, but the glory of Christ and his gospel. "Hear him," says the Father, "not Moses nor Elijah, but Jesus the Christ. His glory is the cross, the flesh and blood of sacrifice, the gentle touch of love and compassion, the still small voice of forgiveness saying to you, 'Arise and do not fear.' Here there is no condemnation, no death or damnation. Here there is no one but Jesus only. For in many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he speaks to you by his Son. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I forgive you all your sins. I give to you my body, take and eat. I pour out for you my blood, take and drink. And these, flesh and blood that were transfigured with the glory of the cross, will transform your own body and soul into the glorious image of Christ. For you abide in him and he in you. By his cross you are forgiven. In his resurrection, you will rise to live with him forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.